Would you lift up a shout to the God who is mighty to save? Oh, you conquer the grave, Jesus. Thank you, God. We praise you, praise you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, come on up here. No.
Just take your hand and put it over your heart. And just say, God, would you just open my heart to you this morning? Let my heart be encouraged with your truth, with your word. Holy Spirit, would you give me a listening heart? Help me to pay attention. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are greater. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, right now, as we just want to allow ourselves to be challenged by your word and truth, thank you that your word never changes. It's the same yesterday, that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just offer ourselves to you today. We want to receive from you this morning. Thank you for accepting worship from a lot of imperfect people. It's your grace that covers us as we respond to you today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, everybody. Well, I want to invite you to take out your outline this morning out of your bulletin. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm chapter 5. This is a scripture that I've been meditating on this week. And there's some passages of scripture that just kind of get into your heart and they grab you by the throat and they minister to you personally. And if I didn't even have to preach this morning, this scripture has really touched my life this week. And I get a chance to share it with you today on this first Sunday of our week of prayer. As you know, this past fall, God began just stirring our hearts, I would say, again, as a church, towards increased prayer. We, over the years, there's been times where we seem to have these waves, these moments where God is just trying to get our attention again and just reminding us of things that are important and the basics. And one of the things that I was reminded again of this week is that if we are to be of any use here on earth, how many want to be useful here on earth, bringing kingdom to heaven, or bringing a kingdom to earth? If we are to be of any use whatsoever, we must be a people willing to pray. And so today, as we begin our 2016 January week of prayer here at CPC, the simple challenge is that we would take prayer to another level, to a new level, personally, corporately as a church, in your groups, in your small groups, wherever you gather with people. Let me encourage you to include prayer as one of the key components, even this week as we are meeting together. For some of you, and I think this would be something that would relate to many, perhaps you have become discouraged in your prayer life. Perhaps you have been disappointed in some way. Maybe there's something that you've been praying for a long time, or something that has been part of your life that you just continue to release out to God, and maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe it seems that prayer is going unanswered, and maybe you're like a lot of people. They ask the question, why pray? Why even bother praying? Have you ever asked that question? Why? What's the point? You know, some would even say, God already knows what he's going to do, so why does he need me to pray? I mean, that's a pretty common even objection to prayer. You might say, what's the point? Why bother? And I have to admit, even as I was preparing this week, that sometimes as a pastor, I too, like you, become discouraged when it comes to prayer. And we are hitting very shortly the 40-year mark of pastoral ministry. Even before that, years of ministry in high school, leading high school groups and things like that. But one of the hardest challenges that I've had in almost 40 years of ministry has been keeping prayer a priority. It's not something that comes naturally to me or to, I would say, any of us. And so it's often a challenge personally. It's often a challenge congregationally, corporately. There's always things that seem to get in the way. How many find that true in your life? There's always something that seems to get in the way of prayer. Especially if you are a doer. Some of us are bent that way. And we find almost more satisfaction doing something than sitting. It's almost like nothing's happening if we are just sitting doing nothing. Prayer, typically corporately, is one of the least attended gatherings of the church. And it's one of those things where I find myself personally, you find yourself in this kind of a, it's like a tension between encouraging people to respond to the call to prayer and shaming people into the responding to the call to prayer. I find that if I haven't been praying or if I haven't been giving prayer the priority, I tend to feel that guilt rise up inside of me. And then I hear a testimony where maybe I've been in this place of prayer and you begin to sense that there's response happening, and then you feel encouraged. But we vacillate. If you're like me, we vacillate between this being encouraged to pray and sort of feeling guilted into prayer. And maybe it's what we need. Maybe we need both tracks in order to keep moving us in the right direction. But one of the reasons we are giving this early week of 2016 over to the call to prayer again is because I really believe that we all need that catalyst. We all need to be reminded again. We need catalyst to, we need some time where we actually focus in on what's important. And so this week, my prayer is that this would be a time again to recommit to the discipline and the practice of prayer. And I want, from my heart to you, I want it to come across as an encouragement to you and not I'm trying to shame you or guilt you into something, because that tends to not last very long anyway. How many know what I'm saying? I never do very well. The shame and guilt, you feel a little better for a little bit, but the reality is we need to respond to the encouragement that God is giving to us to be a people of prayer, because he desperately wants us to engage in this. And so this is why I love Psalm chapter 5, because it's just teeming with encouragement. And it comes from a great prayer of David. And I want us to look at some takeaways from this psalm. We're only going to look at the first three verses. And so how about we read it together? And if you have your Bibles or your iPad or whatever you have, let me read from Psalm chapter 5. Verse 1, he says, David says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait in expectation." If you want to, there's an outline that you can follow along and just fill in a few blanks just to take some of this home and maybe even meditate on it during the week. Use it as if you wanted to even use it in your small group for this week, to use it as a bit of a conversation starter and just to dialogue together in your small group, feel free to do that. But number one, just a takeaway from this psalm. First of all, I want to just say this, that God hears the cry of our hearts. How many are thankful for that this morning? God hears the cry of our hearts. And David here in verse 1, he begins with these words, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help." I would say that most of us can relate to David's prayer. How many can relate to David's prayer here? "Give ear to my words. Listen to my cry for help." The word sighing here that you see could be translated. There's different, even different translations. Some translations use, they instead of sighing, they use the word lament. Other translations use the word groaning. And there's, folks, there's something, there are times in our lives when we find ourselves crying out to God with groans. We're groaning to God. And there's nothing wrong with that because we see this coming through in the Scripture. Even the Holy Spirit groans for us. There's times when we don't even know how to pray. This is one of the beauties of the Holy Spirit, is that times when we don't even know how to pray through our prayer language that God gives to us, is that we can pray and the Holy Spirit is praying through us with groans that we can't even utter in our own language. And so we see here David groaning, crying out to God. David is under pressure. And just a little of the background, he's experiencing opposition from those around him. He's got enemies. He's struggling. And his response to his struggling heart, his groaning heart, is he cries out to God. And folks, this is one of the purposes of prayer, that we get to cry out to God with the stuff that we are dealing with in our own personal lives. And everybody has stuff. How many know what I'm saying? Everybody has issues. Everybody struggles with something. Everybody finds themselves in times where it's just like, it just seems like the world is crashing in on them, and there's a hopelessness that comes over them, whatever. And I was thinking about it even this week, how that over the last 18 years of serving here as pastors of CPC, how many times that I've come into this sanctuary, and when there's nobody here, and I've just cried out to God, there's times I've actually been embarrassed when someone, I shouldn't say embarrassed, but times when someone slipped through the side door and I didn't even know they were in the building, and I'm shouting out to God, crying out to God about something that I'm dealing with or something that we're dealing with as a church. I am so glad that I have the privilege that at any time, any moment, that I can cry out to God with the groans and the laments and the fervent cry that comes from the depths of my heart. And I want to say that that's one of the reasons we pray. It's a wonderful privilege this morning. And we should never, that's why the guilt, shame thing is it's a terrible thing, because prayer is a privilege, and it's something that we need to find ourselves engaging in with a great sense of joy, as we heard about earlier. And so I want to ask you this question on this first Sunday of our week of prayer. What is it that is in your heart that you are crying out to God for? What is in your heart this morning? What are some of the things that we cry out to God? If you're a parent, I say we all cry out to God for our kids. We have cried out to God for our kids many, many times, over and over again. We cry out to God for our families. We cry out to God for our relationships. When a relationship becomes injured or hurt or broken, what's the right thing that God calls us to do? What's in the will of God? It's to cry out to Him for those things, to intercede for those things. We cry out to God in times of despair, in times of grief, in times of loss. This afternoon, our church, our facility is being used, our hall is being used for another congregation in our community where they lost their father. And folks are going to be gathering into our hall this afternoon, and they're going to be crying out to God. They're going to celebrate His life, but they're also going to be crying out to God for His comfort and His peace in their time of sorrow. How many are thankful that when we lose a loved one, especially when they know Jesus, that we can cry out to God and we can release our sorrows to Him? And the Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. He hears us when we cry. He knows exactly where you and I are at. Times of loss. Times of dealing with the unexpected. Times when life just seems to throw you a curveball. Times when you get hit with something and you're thinking, like, where did that come from? I'm so glad that we have this wonderful privilege of prayer where we can cry out to God. Times when we're needing wisdom. Maybe we're making a big decision and we need direction. We're not sure which way to go. The Bible says that God is the God of all wisdom, and we can ask Him for wisdom, and He will give it to us, not just a little bit. He says He will give it to us liberally. And so all of these things are part of what we get to do when we cry out to God. And so David, as he was praying, and we don't know all the things that were going on in his heart, but the bottom line is that he was very much aware that he had a God that he could turn to and that God would hear the cry of his heart. And that's, again, we see that repeated again and again throughout the Psalms. I love Psalm 25 in verse 1, where David said, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." Maybe we'll just go to that next slide. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, and I trust. And in you I trust, O my God." Prayer is an amazing privilege for us to be able to lift our soul. And there's all kinds of things that go on in our soul. Our emotions, our feelings, our hurts, our wounds, our struggles, our disappointment. All of these things we can lift to him in prayer and call on his name. And so prayer is one of the great invitations that God has given to us. To take all that stuff, all those things that you and I carry, and we can lift it to him and bring it to him and know that God hears the cry of our hearts. So, folks, as you're praying this week, as you are bringing your needs and situations and whatever it might be, let's just settle this right now. Let's approach God with that full sense of confidence and trust that God hears the cry of our hearts. And so whatever it is, keep bringing it to him. Secondly today, God is honored when he is Lord of our lives. I see this as a takeaway from this psalm, this prayer. Look at verse 2, where David said, "Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray." I love those words. He says, "You are my King and my God." And I believe today that one of the great keys to meaningful prayer is to choose to live under God's complete rule and authority, to live under God's rulership, to live under God's lordship, to live under his kingship. And the more we submit to that, the more we commit to that, I believe the more fruitful our prayers will be. I love the way he says, "You are my King and my God." In other words, God was very personal to David. You know, prayer is not one of these things that, you know, I mean, I believe that God hears all kinds of prayers. But there's something special and unique about prayer that comes out of a relationship. And not just a prayer that is, you know, in this emergency, you know, God is not just an emergency God that we hit, you know, just he's not the panic button of our lives, but he's the God that we can turn to, call on, connect with, as we'll hear in the next point, regularly, daily. He's my God. He's my King. I don't know how many of you might come from a more of a liturgical church background, but for those of you that maybe do, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But this past week, actually January the 6th, was what in many parts of the church world is known as the Day of Epiphany. And the Day of Epiphany is when it marks the time when the Magi, when the wise men, the kings of the East that we sing about on Christmas Eve, came and actually came to the house, not the stable, but the house where Jesus was in Bethlehem. And as these kings came, what they did was they brought with them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it was on this day that they actually got to see the King that they had come to find. And it's interesting that, and we're not exactly sure how long that took. It might, you know, the reality is our, you know, we can't squeeze it all into You know, so we have to squeeze it all into Christmas Eve service, right? You know, we gotta make it all fit, right? The reality is the king showed up a little bit later. That's why they call it the Day of Epiphany, when Jesus became revealed, who they had been seeking and searching for on this day. The gold was the gift of gold was symbolic of royalty. They knew, these kings, these magi from afar, when they saw this star that had appeared in the heavens, they knew that it was a star that recognized that a king was being born. They understood that. They saw that. And that's why they followed that star until it rested over. In fact, earlier they had asked King Herod, they said, "Where is the one born king of the Jews? We saw his star and we have come to worship him." So when they came with their gifts of gold. They came with frankincense, which actually was symbolic of a divine birth, not an ordinary birth. And they also brought myrrh, which was a picture of the mortality. They didn't understand that Jesus, this king, was divine, but it also recognized the fact that Jesus was also human, because he came as flesh as well. My point in saying this morning is that these magi recognized the kingship of Jesus, and they wanted to fall at his feet and worship him. And my prayer today and challenge for 2016 is that once again, that we would declare Jesus as the Lord of our lives. And so as we are going through this week of prayer, as we are crying out to God, include in your cries, say, "Oh God, my King and my God." Can we do that? Can we just say that even with right now, those words? "You are my King and my God." Say it with me again. "You are my King and my God." And can we declare Jesus as Lord of our lives? And what that means is, with that declaration, it's a call to full surrender and obedience. Even Jesus himself said, "Not my will, but your will be done." That's the cry of our hearts this morning. God, as we pursue 2016, as we pursue the challenges, as we pursue the decisions we're about to make, as we pursue the choices that we're making, that we surrender them, that we filter them through the kingship and the lordship of Jesus, when we would say, "Not my will, God, but your will be done." Matthew chapter 7, Jesus himself said this. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" You see, it's one thing to actually say it. We can say, "Lord, Lord, King and God." "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who would do the will of my Father who is in heaven." So what is God's will? What is God saying to you? What is God asking of you? And sometimes we don't always know, we don't always understand that immediately. But as we find ourselves in that, where our will is, where the posture of our will is surrender, where the posture of our will is recognizing his authority and lordship in our life, then the right decisions come. And so, friends, God takes pleasure when we acknowledge him as our King and our God. And what a beautiful privilege that we have to do that. I'm so thankful today that I get to have a King in my life. And I have all of the privileges of that King and royalty in my life. And it just needs to be released as we surrender to him. In fact, the Bible says that he's given us all authority. And authority is greater when we are willing to be under authority. And so, first of all, God hears the cry of our hearts. Secondly, God is honored when he is Lord of our lives. And thirdly, God delights and welcomes our daily coming to him. God welcomes our daily cry. Look at verse 3.
In fact, why don't we read it together, everybody? All right, go. Morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my requests before you. The good news today is that God never, he never becomes tired of us coming to him. He never becomes weary of us coming before him. In fact, again, it's a great privilege that we have to come to God in prayer. And so David, he sees this. He says, morning by morning, I get to come to you. Morning by morning, I get to bring my requests to you. Morning by morning, I get to bring my needs to you. 2016, 2015, 2014, 2017, I get to do this. It's a privilege. Not only is it a privilege, but I also see the connection to discipline. And this is the part that kind of gets me sometimes, is because it's so easy to get out of the discipline of regularly coming daily before the Lord. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing, but I also believe that there needs to be times where we actually set time aside, where we actually come before in his presence and actually bring our needs and requests to him. Jesus himself practiced early morning prayer. And I realize that some of you are maybe not morning people. I'm glad, you know, some of you, it's a great sacrifice to be in church on a Sunday morning. But you know what? The point being is that find a way where you have that discipline of regularly coming. Jesus set the practice. Mark chapter 1, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus would get up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. You know, the disciples got to witness that. They'd be in the house, and all of a sudden they'd hear, you know, a bit of stirring, and maybe the coffee table gets kicked or something, and oh, Jesus getting up to pray. I wish he'd get up later or whatever, you know, but it was his practice. This was something that I believe he did on a regular basis, getting up early, going out, finding a solitary place where he would pray. And it was this kind of practice that the disciples saw, to the point where they came to a point where they actually said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? Teach us to pray. And so as we're learning to pray, we need to look at some of the great examples that we see in prayer. And David here is a great example, morning by morning. Jesus, getting up early in the morning. And friends, some of the benefits of daily prayer. And I would encourage you to make your own list, maybe even this week. Maybe it'd be a great conversation in your small group to say, what are the benefits of prayer? What are the benefits of regular prayer? It's a great Bible study question. I believe that some of the benefits are we get to experience God's presence in a fresh way. There's many times when I'm sitting in my office, I have a big comfy chair in my office early in the morning, that I get this real sense of God's presence just coming and invading my space as I'm taking time for prayer. We experience increased intimacy with our Heavenly Father. We get to hear God's voice. We get to hear His whispers. You know, and I understand if you're a parent of little preschoolers running around, that sometimes it's hard to find yourself in a quiet place. And thank God that if he will use other ways to kind of get our attention, whatever. But it's often in these times of regular prayer that we get to hear God's voice. We get to hear his whispers to us, the Holy Spirit speaking. We get to gain God's perspective on something. We're making a decision, and it's like, oh, man, you know, like our emotions rise up, and we're angry, and we're upset, and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, the whisper of the Holy Spirit comes in. And we begin to gain a different perspective. How many have had those times in your life where it just seemed like, you know, your emotions were upset, they're in turmoil, you're angry, you got feelings that are you're just really bothered inside, and then the Holy Spirit comes in that time of prayer. Maybe it's through Scripture. Oftentimes it's the Word of God combined with prayer that God just begins to come and quiet our hearts. It's in prayer, regular prayer, that we experience greater clarity. We get clearer thinking. You want to think better? Take time in prayer. We experience greater hope. In times of fear and uncertainty, God, his peace will come and settle in. In prayer, we can experience greater wisdom. We can receive direction. God begins to lead us in certain ways, and it comes by setting time aside for prayer. I love this too. I believe that when we pray, we actually get more things done. Are you with me? When we pray, we can anticipate to get more done. So greater efficiency. I love Martin Luther, what he said once. He says, when I have a lot to do in a day, I spend more time in prayer. That's good, isn't it? You know, like I got so much to do today. Prayer just gets kind of pushed to the side. And that tends to be our bent. I think it was Bill Hybels that wrote the book years ago. It's been a long time since I read it, but the title of the book was Too Busy Not to Pray. How many of you right now are too busy not to pray? Too busy not to pray. I got so much stuff going on. And oftentimes the reality is that God and his voice gets kind of put on the shelf. And friends, I hope and pray that this week will be a catalyst, a reminder again of the benefits of daily time with God in prayer. And so the encouragement this morning is this, is that prayer is never time wasted, but time invested. You know, a lot of people are really upset over the way the stock markets are going right now, and things are falling apart in China, and the Canadian dollar is, you know, worthless, and, you know, just kidding. But, you know, people are always thinking about their investments. One of the greatest investments we can make is to take time for prayer. And so I'm inviting you this week here at CPC, will you invest with us? Will you invest some prayer into the future of CPC? Will you invest some prayer into your family? Will you invest some prayer into whatever it is that maybe God is doing in your life, decisions that you are making? Will you invest some prayer into that? And let's believe that God has some eternal dividends that he's going to pass along as we take that on seriously. And so we give thanks again for this wonderful opportunity to take time for regular prayer morning by morning. And the last thing I want to leave with you as we move into this week is that the fourth thing is that, and I see this in this passage, is that God is our forever hope. God is our forever hope. Look at verse 3. Let's read it together. Everybody go. I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. What I see in there is I see hope. I see that we get to pray with hope. And the reality is that oftentimes prayer is a major part of prayer is being willing to wait. And I think you would agree with me that one of today's cultural realities is that our culture does not encourage the discipline of waiting. We don't like to wait. You go to a superstore now and they have a great big banner out front over their store. And they say, all checkouts running. Why is it? Because people hate to wait. They don't want to stand in line. If there's one person, I know when I go to Costco or whatever, I look for the shortest lineup, you know. And so, why? Because I don't want to wait. And nothing wrong with that. And customer service knows that. But the reality is that we tend to find waiting difficult. Most of us struggle with impatience. How many impatient people do I see here this morning? Just three? Yeah. We struggle with that. Most of us want what we want, and we want it now, right? We're praying for a loved one who maybe doesn't know Jesus. They're in a maybe a backslidden condition, and we want to see them come. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to see results now, but sometimes we have to be willing to wait. But the good news is that we get to wait with hope. And it's often in these times of waiting and expectation that I believe strongly that God is at work. Here's what often happens when we're in that waiting game, when we're in that waiting, that time of waiting, what happens is God is doing something in your life. How many have experienced that before? Where in the process of the things that you're wanting to see change, God is actually changing you. I have a book that I've made reference to many times over the years. It's called Lord, Change Me. And it's really about the whole idea of oftentimes the things that we're praying for, we see the lack in this situation, we see the lack in that person, or we see someone that just drives us crazy, and we're saying, God, change them. I can't take it anymore. Change them, change them, change that person, change my husband, change my child. And in the whole thing, God's wanting to change you. If you're like me, I've got lots of things in my life that need changing. And it's oftentimes in these times of waiting that God is at work. And while we're waiting, we need to be saying, Lord, would you change me? Would you change my heart? Lord, while I'm waiting for this, while I'm praying, while I'm waiting upon you, would you change my attitude? Would you change my perspective on things? Would you change my life in this area? And so renewal, maybe go to the next slide, Tanner. Renewal often comes, often comes in times of waiting. Oftentimes, God has a better plan than the thing that you're actually praying for. And I've heard testimonies over and over and over again where they share how that if I would have got what I'd asked for, it wouldn't have been near as much the blessing that I received from God because of waiting. And I love the scripture in Isaiah 40 where, and there's reference to it, you can check it out in your own Bible, where it talks about, I'll pick it up at verse 28. He said, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youth grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who wait, those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. And they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. But you see, there's a key here, and that is being willing to wait, being willing to put our hope and trust in him. And as we're waiting and as we're hoping, we can expect God to do something renewing in our life. And I just pray this week, as we come into this week, that this would be a time of renewal for some people. Maybe a renewal in your faith. Maybe a renewal in your hope. Maybe a renewal in your heart and your desire to see God work in your life in greater ways. Maybe you've become complacent, or maybe you've become a little bit turned off on things, whatever. Maybe it's time for God just to renew something in your life. God is a God of renewal. And it's in these times when we take time to call on God, to bring our frustrations to him. I believe even frustrations can be part of the cry of our heart. God, I'm so frustrated with this. And then allow God to do something fresh and bring renewal. And allow him to do that beautiful work. And so, as we've shared this morning, from take time this week to meditate on Psalm 5. Talk about it in your small group. God hears the cry of our hearts. Declare his lordship once again for 2016 and going forward. Keep coming to Christ daily in prayer. Hold on to hope and wait in expectation. And allow God to do something absolutely amazing. I believe God wants to do something amazing in our lives and in your life and in our church and in our families and in our households this year. How many desire that for your situation? Amen. Amen. Practically speaking, I want to just share a couple of things here, some things that we're going to do this week. And in fact, maybe Joel and the worship team, if you guys could just come back. We've got a few prayer opportunities that we're planning on for this week. And again, my hope is that you will just take some extra time, whatever, throughout the week personally. Maybe, Joel, we can come back with that song from earlier, the one that we ended with, Great is Our God. So let me encourage you to take some time in your own personal lives this week, just whatever that looks like, whatever places of solitary, you know, allow yourself to get into some solitary confinement, okay, with the Holy Spirit, all right? And he wants to do something cool in your life. But we're going to just kind of in the back and to the back part of our building here, we have this beautiful loft, fireside room. The fireplace isn't in yet, but it's coming. And we're going to have it open daily during our regular hours for just come and go prayer every day this week. And just want to invite you to come and just linger, find a quiet space, and just feel free to come and just enjoy that setting. Tuesday and Thursday, and I'm kind of targeting men, but women as well, maybe folks on your way to work. Tuesday and Thursday morning, we're going to have early morning prayer at 7. I'll be here earlier than that, so if you have to go to work by 7, come earlier and the place will be open. We're just going to spend a little time in prayer. Those Tuesday and Thursday morning. Everyone, all the guys say with me, Tuesday and Thursday. But ladies, it applies to you. If that works better for you, then we would love to have you come. And we're just going to spend some time in prayer together, just waiting on God together. Wednesday, noon hour prayer. And that's open to everybody. I remember last time we did this, it was just great to see about 20 people gathered in here on a Wednesday at noon, and we just spent some time just calling out to God together. And so we want to do that. And then we do this every Sunday, our pre-service prayer at 9:30 a.m. That is open to everyone. Today we had 6. I'd like to double that at least by next Sunday, okay? And we want to encourage folks to come and join us for pre-service prayer. That happens every week, just up in the loft. And then next Sunday night, we're going to do our third, this will be the third one we've done now, an all-church prayer summit. And the last two we've done have been just simply amazing. And it's interactive, it's directed, and we're gonna do that again next Sunday night down in our fellowship hall. And it's going to be a great atmosphere. People say, Dave, we got to do this more often. Well, we're going to do it. We're going to have it as sort of the wind-up to our week of prayer. And so I hope that you will give that some, I want to encourage you, not shame you. I want to encourage you to come. But let's stand together this morning, all right? And I want to go back to that question I asked you earlier. What are some of the cries of your heart? How many have some things in your heart this morning that you just need God to intervene? Just raise your hand. You got some things in your heart that you just need God to come and move sovereignly. Yeah. Can I just say, God hears the cry of our hearts. And we haven't done this for a while, but I'm gonna do something a little bit different this morning. Years ago, we used to do this all the time, where we would just invite people to come to the front. And just as a sign of stepping forward into what God is wanting to do. It's sort of a step of faith, a step of saying, God, I need you. The altars were something very, very important in the Old Testament. And what I want to do this morning as we close today, as we sing this song, I want us to maybe just sing a little more of a worship style, a little more of a subdued feeling, just so that we can kind of hear God. I want to invite you, if there's a cry in your heart for something, maybe for a child, maybe for a family member, maybe for a marriage, maybe for a business decision, maybe for anything, okay? I want to invite you to come and let's just stand across this altar and let's just reach out to God and say, God, we need you in 2016. And we're declaring, even coming, you're saying, Lord, I'm declaring you as my Lord. I need to do that right now. And so I want to invite you to just step out of your seats and come, and let's just fill this altar, this room this morning before we go. I wasn't thinking about this earlier. I just sensed it right now that the Holy Spirit was just leading us to do this today. And so as we sing it, would you come and let's just bring this stuff to God and cry out to him together. Can we just do that together as we sing? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just let the instruments play. We cry out to you, O God. We cry out to you, Lord. We cry out to you, O God. We bring our requests to you, O God. We bring our laments to you. We bring our groanings to you. We bring our brokenness to you. God, you never tire of us coming. You never tire of us coming, morning by morning, day by day, evening by evening. God, you are great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can wait with expectation. That in the waiting game, you are doing something in our life. Would you just say, God, while I wait, would you do something inside of me? While I wait, Holy Spirit, would you work in me? Change my heart. Change my life. Change my attitude. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. This is very special. It's a special moment right now. And I think we need to just go out with this in our hearts. And let me just encourage you to step into this week of prayer with us and invest some time with us. Invest in your future, our church's future. Let's invest together and just watch God do something, some special things. And so have an awesome week. Why don't you just give some hugs and say it's good. It's good. Just bless your family. Amen.